Yes, the shortest off-season in all of sport is done. The biggest show in all of sport is back, and so many questions exist. Can Pep keep the pep in City's step and go back to back to back? Will the European champions finally end one of the most talked about droughts in sport and be champions of England after 30 long years? Spurs have finally spent. Can a long-awaited splash of cash turn them into contenders? What will be for Chelsea, who have lost their best player but brought back one of their best ever as boss? Emery's first season at Arsenal was flat. Can he now fire the Gunners back into the top four? And what about Manchester? The red half, a mess at season's end. Can Solskjaer save himself and rebuild this once proud club? Here to discuss all of that and plenty more with me, Daniel Garb, on this special Premier League season preview Fox Football podcast is Simon Hill and Adam Peacock. Hello, boys.
Good to see you, Garby. Adam, how are you?
Confused.
Why?
I thought this was about the cricket. Aren't we talking about the Ashes?
What, the World Cup?
No, well, you look at it objectively, Simon, and you look at England's cricket team at the moment, they're on a two-game winless streak against Southern Hemisphere opposition.
Right. Okay, so have you won the Ashes already?
No.
How many tests have we played?
But we're closer to winning it than you
are. Do you remember 2005?
No.
Right.
No.
First test, 2005, Australia won by a street at Lord's. What was the final outcome?
You won.
Yeah.
Because Glenn McGrath stepped on a cricket ball.
So you just hold your horses and keep your powder dry till you've won.
Congratulations on the draw, by the way.
Oh, the World Cup, yes!
Congratulations.
We won the World Cup.
And the weekend as well.
Oh,
you won it without
Aussies
winning it.
Aussies don't
have you
like
not heard?
It when England win. I'm just going to get my little violin out here.
If we're tied, if two teams are tied at the end of the Premier League season on points
but
and goal difference, it'll go down to most completed through balls to decide the winner.
Poor Aussies. Why do you care? You weren't in the final.
I don't know.
We beat you in the semis.
Yeah, you smashed us in the semis. So what?
There we go. You've all become closet Kiwis, have you now?
The World Cup asterisk.
I just wondered how you can win something without winning it. That's what I know.
Do you know what?
We didn't set the rules.
I know you didn't. I know you
and everybody knew that right. Before it starts.
I'm just trying to wind you
sorry,
up.
Sorry, boy.
We're succeeding.
No, I'm happy.
The
City
right.
Have won the Community Shield.
True.
England have won the Cricket World Cup. I've had a
true.
Great off-season. And I've walked mountains in the UK.
The fishing rod's out early.
I saw that, didn't you?
I did.
Look at you go.
Second one, Ben Nevis last year,
yeah.
Mount Snowdon. I mean, they're not big mountains, you know, it's not Everest.
When are you going to climb Mike Ashley, the other big mountain over there?
Or Bozza.
Yeah, well, you've got Mike Ashley's got him covered.
You've got a beard that looks as if you've been running like Forrest Gump across the UK. Never mind climbing mountains.
I don't know about running.
Looking
anyway.
Good. It looks great, by the way. I'm very impressed by that.
I was at the World Cup final.
Let's see if I can keep it.
I was at the World Cup final. One of the best things I've seen.
I saw your photos.
It was amazing. It was amazing to be there.
To be honest, I know we're here to talk about football, but all the controversy aside, how brilliant a sporting occasion was that?
Oh.
And how tense was it?
Well, Adam was at Wimbledon. I was at the cricket.
Yeah.
I was at the cricket, then Wimbledon.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, what made us more brilliant at the cricket was that you knew what was happening at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And everyone sort of discussing it in the crowd, which only increased the atmosphere.
Exactly the same way around at Wimbledon as well. It was an amazing day of sport. But the good thing is we've got plenty of amazing weekends of sport coming up with this little competition.
And the best thing of all was you were at Wimbledon, you were at Lord's, I was in the pub.
Oh, pub. Our pub.
With a former Fox Sports employee, actually.
And for someone who claims not to care much about cricket, you seem very emotional about it all.
Yeah. I didn't, to be honest, but, you know, it just gripped you. It does when you win.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right, who's going to win this whole thing? Let's go through it all, boys. The Premier League is back. That's what we are here for, and we love it, of course. And, we're set for another fantastic edition of it. Let's get straight into it. I mean, we've got plenty to go through. We're all going to have a look at, you know, some other clubs outside of the top six. Obviously, that'll be the focus early on. We'll look at some other clubs outside of that. So don't worry if you're not a big six fan, because your club could well be covered. And we'll do our predictions for the season as well. Our top six in order, player of the season, golden boot, relegated teams that we think might transpire. Our Aussies abroad as well. But let's start with the big six. We'll go from six to one from last season. And it was Manchester United who were bottom of the top six pile, at least. Finishing, as I said before, with a mighty mess. What do we think for them this time around. Can the baby-faced assassin fire them any further up the table?
Well, they've gone with pace in terms of recruits so far, and it's a bit of a blow that they can't get Dybala out of Juventus because of his extraordinary wage demands, we're led to believe. But the kids they've got, I mean, Harry Maguire is not blessed with pace, but he's a hardened defender and he knows how to play in the Premier League, so you don't need to get him up to speed in that regard. And can he be like a Virgil van Dijk type signing, even though the price is a little less, I think, than Virgil, but he's the most expensive Englishman in the history of the Premier League.
A little more, is it? Yeah, it's five more. He's the 11th most expensive footballer of all time.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
And Wimbisaka, the young kid out of Crystal Palace, who looks like I've only seen him in a couple of friendlies in a red shirt, and far out, what a tank he is. And Daniel James, as quick as the wind. And they got this 17-year-old out of their youth system as well. But do they need a little bit extra? And is there any fallout or hangover, Simon, from their bad end to last season after things were going so well after Ollie took over, but then it it went right off real quick?
Yeah, well, I mean, there has been a hangover because all the speculation is, again, and all the talk, apart from the new signings, has been about Paul Pogba and whether he wants to stay, whether he will stay. It looks like he's going to remain at Old Trafford for the time being. Real Madrid look as though they've given up their interest, but I think he's still the key to their revival. I mean, obviously, Harry Maguire is a big signing for them. We all know their defence, you know, last season leaked over 50 goals, by far the worst in the top six. I think Solskjaer has addressed those issues with Wan-Bissaka as well. But to me, getting the best out of Pogba remains the key. He's an enigma. And, you know, he also needs others to step up. You mentioned the youngsters. What's his name? God, I forgot his name. Mason Greenwood,
yeah.
Is apparently a real talent. Marcus Rashford, for me, needs to step up and take his game to a different level. But Pogba, again, remains he's the best player at the club. And if he has a great season, then United can push for the top four. I don't think they can win it. I think there's still, you know, two, maybe three good transfer windows away from mounting a serious challenge to City and Liverpool. But I think they can have an improved season. I think Harry Maguire is certainly central to that. But getting the best out of Pogba, getting his head in the right place, I think is essential.
That's the key. He's the barometer. Like, if he's up and going and playing well and motivated, he can fire them to to maybe even be contenders. Like, their squad is very good, which is why United fans have been so dismayed with how they've gone in recent times, because they've spent crazy money. But if he's not feeling it for whatever reason, just not enjoying himself, doesn't get on with Ollie, doesn't think Ollie's up to it, isn't happy not playing Champions League, and he drops his bundle, he'll drag other players down with him. He's just that powerful a presence, and that's going to be an issue. On Maguire, a big signing, but it comes with a lot of pressure, that price tag. And now everyone's going to go, all right, we want the same results as Liverpool have had with Van Dijk. That's just what's going to happen. How he deals with that will be fascinating.
Yeah,
if he rises to it, he can lift that team. If it might get into his head a little bit.
I don't reckon it will, because he's played against the opposition he's playing against for the last few seasons and done very well and got himself a valuation of what he's what he's got. I mean, obviously it's inflated through TV money going up all the time, so there's no real point in comparing it maybe to Van Dijk, but previous ones as well. It's a hell of a lot of money, but there's a hell of a lot of money in the game. Yeah. So that I think he'll be fine in that regard, because, he's used to playing against your Sergio Aguero's, Harry Kane's, etc.
The other thing is that, of course, City were interested in him, but they refused to meet the valuation that Leicester put on his head, which was, you know, this 80 million price tag. I think United had to pay it. It's probably a little bit more than he's worth. I mean, that sounds stupid, because 80 million, wow. Well, we can't even visualise that.
Leicester played it brilliantly. They just kept.
And they're right to do that. But United are at a point in time probably that City were at a few years ago, you know, when they were signing the likes of Adebayor and Carlos Tevez. You had to pay that extra dollar on top to bridge that gap. And United are in that position now. So I think Maguire is a good signing for them. I mean, you know, their defence last year was awful, let's be honest. Who does he play alongside? They've got now, what was it, 7 or 8 centre-backs? You can't see Phil Jones or Chris Smalling. I would imagine Lindelof will be his preferred partner. Where that leaves the others, including, you know, Rojo and all the others, I've no idea. But it's incumbent upon Solskjaer that they get in the top four this season. That's the minimum requirement.
Sure. And that's pressure on Ollie, and there's pressure already because of the catastrophic way in which they finished the season. And he's not familiar with this sort of position. He might have been a Man United player, but he's now managing a very big club with big egos like Pogba. Done okay in the transfer market in the off-season. Maybe hasn't moved on some of the players he would have liked to. So he goes into it under pressure, and how he deals with that will have an impact on United as well. Arsenal. I mean, they were flat last season, weren't they? I mean, they didn't really gain anything. They didn't lose anything. They just sort of carried on in the same way.
Yeah.
After all those years of Wenger moving on to a new manager, nothing really changed. They've got to jump back into the top four. They can't not be a Champions League team. And they've now signed to try and match that. They've broken their transfer record and brought in Nicolas Pepe. Arsenal fans are obviously very excited about their attacking group as a result.
I think this is the crucial campaign for Unai Emery. He was almost given like a free pass, I think, last year because of the Wenger years. I thought initially he would improve Arsenal. I think he did improve Arsenal to start with. By the end of the season, those same old defensive frailties have come back into play. You look at what's happening with Laurent Koscielny, who appears to want to leave the club, is in dispute. I've heard one or two things behind the scenes about what goes on at Arsenal, and they've still, to me, appear to have that soft centre, a core of players that if they're not quite in the mood, Mesut Ozil, of course, again, same with Pogba at Manchester United. He's the key. On his day, he's a world-class player, can dominate any team. Those days aren't often enough. And that's the responsibility for Unai Emery, is to get his mind in the right position to be such an important contributor for Arsenal. I think they need Koscielny to stay. I don't know how you fix that.
He's not going to.
Mustafa, you know, is not particularly popular with the Arsenal fans either. So, if you take those two out, who's going to fix that leaky defence or that soft defence that has that, you know, tendency to lose games, particularly away from home, that really they should be winning against, you know, the lesser teams with respect to them. So they've made a whole lot of changes in the backroom staff. Edu's come in as technical director. Freddie Ljungberg's back at the club. Maybe that will help restoring some of the culture. Interestingly, Darren Burgess, you know, our Australian friend who was with the Socceroos for a few years, he's been one of the casualties. He's been moved on. So I think this is crucial. I think if Emery doesn't deliver this season, I think he'll be gone.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
What are they? Like, as a football team, just as we know what they are as an organisation, it's very well run and commercially very successful.
But I don't think the fans would agree with that at the moment.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's a fact, but they wouldn't agree with the sentiment. Mm. But you look at Manchester City and under Guardiola, you know exactly what they're about. It's high-tempo football, a lot of passing when they need to, but when they need to break, they can break and break hard and do all those things. Liverpool, again, tempo through the roof, and that's, we'll get to Liverpool in a moment, but will they be able to sustain that with the same squad? You look at Arsenal and Manchester United as a football team. How do they win games consistently?
That's a fair call. I mean, looking at Emery's record, defensively, he doesn't have a good record all the way through. Even when he's been successful, they've leaked goals. Maybe that's, again, his model. Pepe, Aubameyang, Lacazette. It's a very good front three if they can get going.
It's quick,
But defensively, they don't seem to have any sort of resoluteness.
They don't have a Fernandinho.
So maybe that'll be the way.
Crucially, they don't have a Patrick Vieira or an Emmanuel Petit. And I actually thought, you know, when they signed those two players last year, Guendouzi in particular, I thought was very impressive at the start of the season.
Torreira's been
really
good. But
again, they seem to have sort of, you know, drifted back into that. And I think that's a mentality thing. I think that is something at the heart of the club. I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how it occurred in the first place, but it seems to be endemic at that club at the moment that when things get tough, Arsenal can't quite dig in to get those results. Liverpool last season had it. City have had it for a few years now. That's the difference between the top clubs and the ones that are chasing.
I think, it's still much the same as it was under Wenger. Not much has changed.
No.
Good going forward, but weak at the back. I think with Pepe, they'll be able to win enough games at home to be around that fourth place mark. I think he will make a big difference along with Aubameyang and Lacazette. He may have settled in, but I think they'll be too weak defensively to be a contender. They just won't be strong enough.
Here's the key to them. I think we'll know their first five away games, Newcastle, now I know we'll talk about them a bit later, Liverpool, Watford, Manchester United.
That's tough.
That ain't easy.
That's tough.
No.
So,
and I just realised that's only four.
That's all right.
But anyway.
Game against Newcastle's like two.
When I could be under pressure straight away. I've got worries about Chelsea. Let's move on to them. Real concerns. I think Eden Hazard has carried that attack for the last two, three seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Really carried
Absolutely.
That attack. And now they've lost him. Okay, they've brought in Pulisic, who's a very talented player. But he has to adjust and the responsibility that Hazard took upon himself on so many occasions to give me the ball and I'll make something happen. Is he ready for that? I'm not sure. They haven't been able to sign many others because of the transfer ban, and they bring back Frank, which is great, but he's obviously very raw in a position like that. I've got real concerns about what Chelsea can do this season.
This, to me, Frank Lampard, is the most intriguing storyline of the season, to see what he can do as a manager. So he's only spent the 1 year with Derby, and then obviously timing is down to a lot of things in football, in sport in general. So he's jumped at it now when maybe perhaps at the back of his head was, oh, do I need another year or two? Steven Gerrard up at Rangers is doing that, and I reckon he's just going to stay up there until Jurgen Klopp says, thanks very much, I've done enough here. Stevie G, in you come. And that's a perfect situation,
perfect
prospect for Liverpool fans going forward. But has it happened too quickly at Chelsea? The timing is wrong with no transfers, that he can't just knock on Roman's door, who he gets on very well with, wherever Roman is. I don't think he's in the UK much these days.
Have you seen his yacht?
I think he's allowed to be, isn't he?
Boris Johnson came in and I think one of the first edicts he said was keep this man out of...
Have you seen his yacht? You wouldn't be in the UK either if you owned that.
No. I wouldn't worry about anything actually in life. But yeah, the Lampard managerialship at Chelsea, I mean, how much rope is he given? How much leeway is he given with no transfers and it being Chelsea?
Apparently that was, for him, the reassurance he was given to take the job. He said, I'm not taking this job unless you guarantee me 2 years without sacking me. Yeah. Because you're not... The squad's already in transition. I can't buy anyone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave my job at Derby, come here, and I'm sacked like every other manager that you've presided over after 4 to 6 months when things get tough.
Eventually, this spinning wheel for Chelsea has to stop. Eventually.
Well, to be honest, I think this is the reason why they've gone for Lampard, this transfer ban, because he is inexperienced. Obviously, he's a club legend as a player. But he did a good job with Derby, you know, 1 year. But I think the fact that they can't sign players, and crucially, he's brought with him Jody Morris, who developed a lot of those young players, Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount, Callum Hudson-Odoi, who started the, you know, under 17, under 20 World Cup with England. It's going to be incumbent, I think, upon Chelsea, and maybe this is a good thing for the English national team, strangely enough, to develop some of those players, and maybe they will now get more of an opportunity.
Another 15 went out on loan, I noticed.
Of course.
Of their farming system they've basically
got. That's the same with every big club.
Yeah.
Now, you look at the other backroom staff that he's brought in. Claude Makélélé's returned. Carlo Cudicini has returned. So they're building almost like a team Chelsea. You know, I think they're almost looking at a siege mentality over these next two transfer, because it is tough. Mm. You know that if you lose two transfer windows, look at all the, you know, the hassle that Spurs had through, and they were able to sign players, they just didn't. But when you don't sign players, they did get levied. You run the risk of falling way behind.
Yeah.
So this is an important period, but I think that's why they've gone for Frank Lampard. I agree with you that Eden Hazard is a massive loss. Pulisic could fill the void. He's a hugely talented youngster, but he's only 20.
Yeah.
It's going to take time, potentially. If he can hit the ground running, if some of these youngsters can progress quickly, then Chelsea, I think, you know, might be okay. I think the key to them really is who scores the goals for them, because in the striking stocks, they're very thin.
Yep.
Olivier Giroud hasn't really done it for them.
No.
Batshuayi, unconvincing. Maybe Tammy Abraham, who banged him in the championship for Villa last year, maybe he could be the key.
I think they'll rotate between those guys. Yeah. But you just want someone you can rely upon, someone you just know you're going to leave him on because that's their best chance.
Yeah.
And they don't have that player, do they?
And answer me one question, though. I mean, I'm interested in your take on this. I'm not a Chelsea fan, so I can't see inside the mind of a Chelsea fan. I know you're not either, but my take on Sarri, I know this is ancient history now and he's gone to Juventus, but I've read some of the Chelsea previews from the fans and they're like, oh, thank God Sarri's gone.
That's weird, isn't it?
He got him to a League Cup final. He got them in the top four and they won the Europa League.
It's weird. But,
You know, against competition, Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham, three teams, two of which played in the Champions League final, one of which did the domestic quadruple. And Chelsea still won a trophy. We're within a penalty shootout of winning another and they qualify for the Champions League. And yet, if you speak to a Chelsea fan, I mean, Sarri's the closest thing to the devil. It just it baffles me.
Should hear Juventus fans go on about
unproven, at least there.
Yeah.
With Chelsea, okay, I know that the style of football wasn't always to their taste and he was a little bit different. But why is he so reviled? I just don't get it.
I saw one fan saying, he's not a Chelsea man. hang on a second.
Who is a Chelsea? I mean, they go through coaches, as Adam says, once every 6 or 7 months. So who is?
Roberto Di Matteo was a Chelsea man. How old did that go? I mean, like, what a nonsense. Managers aren't people of that club until they bed themselves in and start and a given time. Jurgen Klopp wasn't a Liverpool man for the first year or two. He had to sort of work his way into it. Mm. Sir Alex Ferguson wasn't a United man. His first year to work. I mean, it's a nonsense.
Yeah,
you're not a Chelsea man.
It just
what do you expect?
Me. Anyway, Lampard is a Chelsea man, so let's see how he goes.
Look, there's reason to be excited about them with the youngsters they might be able to play, but at the end of the day, fan sentiment revolves around results, and I think it could be tough for them at times. Spurs have reason to feel enthused about the season because, they finally they've smashed their transfer record with Ndombele and brought in a couple more as well. So maybe they can jump up from the team in third to a contender this season and make it a race in three.
I'm fascinated to see what happens in the next couple of days with Christian Eriksen.
Yeah.
That's the one. So, Levy's no idiot, as we all know. He's probably the shrewdest guy in terms of deal-making in the Premier League. And Pochettino, fascinated by his comments in the pre-season, but I'm just the coach. Don't ask me about transfers. I've got no idea what's going on. I get told what to do. Mm. And I think that was a little bit of a twist in that as well. I think there was a little lemon sprinkled on that for a bit of bitterness because I'm not entirely sure he's enthused by that ongoing prospect. Pochettino perhaps thinks that he's earned the right to have a bit more of a say in such matters. But Christian Eriksen, 50 million bid apparently, Manchester United have piped up with, but he's not going anywhere if they don't get a replacement because Levy's no fool.
Yeah. Two big bonuses for Spurs. A, as you've mentioned, they've spent some money at last. Secondly, Pochettino's still there. Mm. He's the biggest asset, along with Harry Kane, that the club has got. Ndombele is obviously, according to all reports and his evidence that he showed last season, is a quality player. He's, a Patrick Vieira type player, if you like, in the centre of the park.
Mm. How good's French football going, by the way, in terms of money? Coming in from outside and then they do what they want.
They produce good players, don't they?
Just keep producing their players through the academies.
If you do that, then you're going to get that reward, aren't you?
I can't work out why there's not more coming out of English academies. With all the money that's been in English football for the last 20 years.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there are some. I mean, there's some like Jadon Sancho who's, gone to Borussia Dortmund and one or two others are starting to go, particularly to Germany, strangely enough, where they'll get an opportunity. That's the key, isn't it? The issue with the Premier League, and we've talked about this for years and years.
It's a bit like the A-League.
the pressure on the managers is so intense, the spotlight is so intense that it's very difficult, unless you've got an absolute standout youngster, to drop him in and give him that experience in such a cutthroat competition. Anyway, back to Spurs. Hmm. I think they'll be top four again. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The big question mark for me is, again, if Harry Kane gets injured. Again, they're a little bit light in the striking stocks. I know Son can play at the top. There's a question mark over whether Llorente has actually left the club or not. He has officially left the club, but there's still talk that he might return in some shape
or
form.
What's he doing at Costanza, just rocking up to work after he said he's leaving?
Well, I think he's a free agent, but there's still some speculation that he might get another contract. They have got a young kid called Troy Parrott, which is a commentator's dream. If he gets an opportunity, apparently he's a good youngster, same as Mason Greenwood at Man United. Those are the sort of players we're talking about, good English youngsters. Mm. And they need to get an opportunity. And there's also talk that they might get Ryan Sessegnon from Fulham. In fact, that might have gone through by the time you listen to this.
I think Spurs are the same as they have been, which is a very, very good team. But they can go up that extra rung, I think, and not win it, but make it a much tighter race than it was last season and really close that gap and put even more pressure on Liverpool and City.
Mm. I was going to save it for the Golden Boot, but I think Harry Kane's going to have a damn good season.
I'm with you as well on that. We share the
rest is the golden ticket for footballers, and he's finally had a bit of a rest and get his body right. He's proven. He's so proven at this level.
He looks sharp at the moment. He's had a really good preseason. Lord, for those who do fantasy Premier League, I think Harry Kane is a must-have up front.
Yeah, he's what was he, 17 and 28 last season. So he played 10 less games than the guys who won the Golden Boot on 22, the three who won the Golden Boot. So, I mean, I've already given away my Golden Boot, but it's going to be Harry Kane in my opinion.
I'll give mine away. I'm with you on that. The only worry with Harry, as you said, he always picks up a 4 to 6 week injury at some stage in the season, doesn't he? He's always got that in him. But, I think he can still be dominant.
He kept on picking up his ankle injury because he was fatigued and a little bit slower, a little less sharp.
Sure.
Now he's going to be rested, and I think he'll have a huge season.
Can they do it on the road as well? They lost their last six away league games last season. I know that they were focusing on the Champions League, by that stage, and they got to the final. But six consecutive away defeats
must fix.
We're optimistic about Spurs. What about Liverpool, the champions of Europe? Can they do it in England? As Simon rolls his eyes and I smile. Having experienced all that happened.
Well, you tell us, Garby. Go on.
Go.
I think Liverpool can... I think they can win it, yeah. I mean, they showed last season they can win it. They were one.
There we go. We've won it. We've won it. It's August. We've won it.
1 point off the pace. Well, City think they've won it because they won the bloody pre-season friendly.
Oh, whoa. Hang on. Can you imagine had Liverpool won that Community Shield? There would be talk of dynasties. Last Liverpool team to win the Charity Shield would have been brought out to play a friendly against this year's. Commemorative cups, key rings, etc.
What a load of garbage. They're already the European champions, so there's reason to be optimistic, and they finished 1 point off of last season, as we know. I guess the concern amongst Liverpool fans is, without there being any major incomings, that one or two signings, is it going to be enough to keep the squad on their toes?
You've got Adrian, reserve goalkeeper.
Reserve goalkeeper, thank you. I think just on that, Oxlade-Chamberlain returning is like a new signing, and that improves things a bit. Adam Lallana missed a lot of football last season, so that feels like a new signing as well. Naby Keita, in a sense too. So they have got incomings in a way.
Listen to this.
You would have liked.
He's talking enough.
Oh, look.
Can you let me finish?
Look, there's a marker pen behind the pot plant. That feels like a new signing as well. It was there all along, but we've just realised it was there. That's when you haven't made signings and you try to justify the fact that you haven't made signings.
Well, I hadn't actually finished what I was going to say.
Sorry, go.
They're the new Tottenham, Adam.
can I finish my spiel?
Yes, you can.
That being said, I think Liverpool fans would have liked, and I certainly would have, just one or two to keep the first 11 on their toes a bit more. And there are issues up front in terms of reinforcement. Liverpool have actually been lucky the last 2 years. They haven't had major injuries to their stars. Salah, Mane, Firmino haven't missed huge chunks of football. One of them goes down, you worry about who comes off the bench week after week, massive games to win you games in reserve. But Klopp also doesn't want to upset the dressing room. He's got an awesome spirit there. I don't think he wants to bring someone in and then people get upset and are worried about their position and things like that. He's obsessed with squad morale. He views that as being the key, and he wants to maintain that. So, I think there's Liverpool in the second half of the Charity Shield showed that they've still got a bit of drive, and that was obviously something that should not be in question, considering the Premier League is something they need to win. The drought is stretching to 30 years now.
And 7 years without a domestic trophy as well. The pre-season, I don't think, has been that flash. Now, there are extenuating circumstances for that. They've had players away on international duty, so they've not been available. You've mentioned, obviously, the lack of signings. Talk of, a player that might feel like a new signing, Fabinho. I thought when he signed Fabinho last year, I thought he looked like a player that would really improve Liverpool. Now, I don't think his first season was that great.
Oh, I think he finished strongly. His Champions League form is unbelievable.
Yeah, he finished strongly, but I think, sometimes takes foreign players a little while to adapt to the Premier League. It's a very different style of football. This year might be his year that he steps up. I'm also intrigued as to see whether Jurgen Klopp gives, again, another English youngster, a little bit of game time. Ryan Brewster, who's had a lot of injury problems. He's not yet featured for the first team. He could be a player that, provides that little bit of depth in the attacking sense, if Salah and Mane were perhaps to pick up an injury or a little bit of a loss of form. So, look, Liverpool are going to challenge. I still think it's between Liverpool and City this season. It could go either way. The Community Shield, City were good first half, Liverpool were good second half. I think it's going to be those two to battle it out.
Yeah, that's probably a fair insight into how the season might go. Yeah. That Shield game. So, yeah, I agree. There's a worry in attack, but Brewster might be the man to step up and, you know, be that Daniel Sturridge player off the bench and maybe have more enthusiasm.
What about Origi as well?
And Origi is looking really good. He finished the season strongly.
This could be the key, Garby. In the first 10 games, Liverpool have to face Arsenal, Chelsea, United and Spurs. During that same period, City only have Spurs at home in that time. Now, that's not to say that the Premier League title is done and dusted after 10 matches. Of course it's not. But those are tough matches for Liverpool, maybe more tough than City have to start off with.
If you build a
gap, you know, that can be difficult to reel in.
Fixtures computer is anti-Scouse.
That's it. It's the latest conspiracy theory.
It's ridiculous.
It's the same as the snow from the length of the grass.
It's horrible.
From the champions of Europe. This sounds brilliant saying that. Brilliant to the champions of England. Can City go back to back to
that
back?
That sounds pretty good.
Hang on, by the way. Is this a Champions League podcast or a Premier League podcast? Are we actually talking up the Premier League or the Champions League?
Anything factually incorrect in what I said?
No, just in terms of tone, maybe a bit imbalanced.
I just like getting.
You're about to hear imbalance because we're moving on to. Sister.
Here we go. This will be good.
I just love immersing myself under his skin, Adam.
Oh, we love the passion.
Go, Man City.
City. Yeah, I think we're going to go all right. I think we're okay.
You smug bastard.
Yeah, Guardiola hasn't invested in terms of numbers of personnel that much in the off-season. I think Rodri is an excellent signing and a necessary one because, obviously, Fernandinho, as good as he is knocking on a little bit. He's 34. So we'll need to be replaced at
that
some stage.
That was when you had your wobble last season.
Yeah, exactly. When he's not there, he's not the player that grabs the headlines, Fernandinho, but when he's not there, you notice.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Rodri, and he already showed that a bit in the Community Shield game. It's only one match, of course, but I think he's got that quality about him. He's also brought in Angelino as cover in the left-back role. The one slight question mark against City, I think, at the moment is they haven't signed a replacement for Vincent Kompany. So they're a little bit light in that central defensive area. Not that Kompany played every game last season by any stretch. That's why there was interest in Harry Maguire. They ended up not going for him. Whether they'll get somebody before the end of the window, I don't know. But I think that's the only question mark. The positives for City, obviously, you know, the squad is pretty much the same. Kevin De Bruyne is back fully fit after a really up and down season with injuries last season.
He always seems like he'll pick one up though, doesn't he?
Absolutely he does. But if he can stay fit, you know, De Bruyne is one of the best players in the Premier, one of the best players in the world, let's be honest.
If fit.
The Rolls Royce.
He's the best in the Premier League.
David Silva, his last season in Sky Blue, he'll want to have an impact. And, of course, there's Phil Foden, who everybody who follows City hopes is going to have this breakthrough season. And Raheem Sterling, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What a season he had last year. 25 goals. And you saw how he's matured, not just as a player, but also as a person against Liverpool in the Charity Shield. He got an awful lot of abuse. He handled that really well. At the end of the game, he went over and signed shirts with Liverpool fans, had a chat to them. I think he's now, you know, evolved into a real leader on and off the pitch for City. So I don't think there are too many question marks against Guardiola's squad. How can there be when they've just done the domestic treble? But maybe that, you know, lack of a replacement at the moment for Kompany could be one.
Sterling, one thing that doesn't get spoken about a lot with him, we speak about his talent all the time, is his drive. Like, he turned himself last season into a week-to-week deliverer. And every single week, and you can see it in the Charity Shield, he's got this drive in his eyes, without a doubt. And it's got to come from Raheem as well. He's fabulous to watch in that regard. Any news on Sané? His knee? That didn't look great to me. No. He reached for the back, and as you know...
Well, he's out of there, isn't he?
I think he wants to go.
His girlfriend wants him to go, or he wants to go?
I think it's a bit of both. I think Sané was frustrated a bit by his lack of starting game time last season. There's a bit of interest reportedly from Bayern Munich. Obviously, he's German. Maybe he fancies a return home. Maybe he's seeking some guarantees from Guardiola, which I think, you know, if Guardiola's true to form, he won't give him. So, yeah, I mean, he could be on his way.
That'd be a huge loss.
Yeah, it would
either
be.
Through that or injury. As I said, like he reached for the back of his knee. That's, I don't think it's, because he didn't seem to be in too much pain, but that's a tell for an ACL. I really hope that's not the case.
Yeah, well, so do I.
Geez, you love watching him play. Like, he's just a fantastic footballer. Yeah. If he either goes or is injured.
He essentially, let's be honest about this, his goal against Liverpool won City the title.
Yeah. But he's just that'd be a huge loss.
Yeah.
Like that would change predictions. I think he's that big of a player for City. As a contributor off the bench.
Maybe.
It was 1 point in it last season. 1 point in it. But, one player can make that difference.
De Bruyne is like a new signing.
Yeah, true. De Bruyne is like a new signing.
We've all got new signings.
Yeah. That is true, but he'll be out for another 2 months somewhere along the line because
Guardiola
doesn't the case with him.
He hasn't got it wrong in transfer windows with Man City.
Not yet.
Too often. Well, I'll read you some names and you say if Stones, yep, good. Sane, yep, good. Jesus, yep, good. Gundogan, yep, good. Bravo. Nolito?
No.
Okay. The one after Laporte, Mendy, Walker, Bernardo.
Injuries.
Yep.
Yeah.
Edison. Danilo, Douglas Luiz, well, he came in, then they sold him for a profit.
Danilo is another one that there's talk that there's going to be a swap deal between him and Cancelo from Roma.
Okay.
So he could come in and he can also play at left back. So that would be a good signing.
The point is that they don't get it wrong too often.
Yeah.
So if they bring anyone in this week, they've obviously been looking at him for a very long time and they've got the right price for the right player. At the right time.
We'll wait and see what happens in that regard. Right, we're going to give our predictions later on. Let's quickly move through. We've all picked three clubs. We want to touch on and speak about them for a variety of reasons and talk about their prospects this campaign. We won't spend too long on this because we've got to move through. But Everton's a team I'm excited by this season. I think they can really do well. They've invested. I actually think Liverpool, having such a big season and winning the Champions League, having been in Liverpool on that weekend, you can see why Everton have gone, we need to get our act together. Because it was almost like, you know, you're getting shown up in your own city to that extent.
New stadium happening.
New stadium.
It is.
The plans are in for it. Yeah. You know, Moise Kean.
That's at the Albert Dock, I think, isn't it?
Looks beautiful at the plans.
I can
sing
that song about our Fernando Torres and Jamie Carragher.
You want to sing it for us?
Oh, that was an old one.
No. That and the Neville song about Jacko is bad that Man U fans used to sing. They're my two favourites.
Moise Kean from Juventus looks like a really good signing. Andre Gomez from Barcelona. Fabian Del from City. They're signing players from big clubs. And, you know, they've got a good structure already. Marco Silva's a good manager. I think they can honestly push for the top six.
I'm just worried
and
about...
And really challenge.
Clubs at the level of where Everton are at the moment, signing players from big clubs. Why are they leaving that big club?
Yeah, it can be an issue. But Moise Kean from Juventus, like, he's an up-and-coming player.
I know
he is. The money is obviously
but
better.
But it's what we don't know that's important, like a player like that. You know what I mean?
Well, Rob, we know Everton's also presenting better than they ever have.
Maybe.
I will pick up on your Everton and raise you a Wolves. Because I'm intrigued, fascinated to see how Wolves go this season. I picked them to be top 10 last season. I'm not sure I picked them to finish seventh. They also got to the cup semi-final. They should have made the cup final, 2-0 up with 12 minutes to go. They've managed to keep hold of Nuno Espirito Santo. They've kept together the guts of their squad, including Raul Jimenez, who had a fantastic season last year.
Say that again.
Jimenez.
Jimenez. No, you give it the third. Yeah.
When you say Jimenez with that beard, yes, you look like Nuno Espirito Santo.
Nuno Espirito Santo, right, okay. So they've already won the Premier League Asia Trophy. I know it's only a pre-season tournament. They beat City on penalties in the final. Are they set for another level, Wolves? They're playing in Europe this season. Can they manage those commitments, the Europa League, if they get through to the group stage? Is their squad depth deep enough? They've got massive plans. I know a couple of Wolves fans back home. They are so excited. They think they're going to break into the top six this season. I think they can potentially do it. They've also signed a very intriguing Italian called Patrick Cutrone from Milan. He's won one cap for Italy. He could be a nice compliment to Jimenez and Diogo Jota, who's, you know, fantastic talent as well. So I'm very keen to see how Wolves go. And here's an interesting stat for you. Last season, Wolves took 16 points off the big six teams. Yeah. They drew with City, they beat United, beat Spurs away, beat Arsenal at home. The only team they didn't beat was Liverpool. So, you know, it's all there for Wolves. They want to expand the stadium. They've got money. They keep signing loads of Portuguese players. I know there's a question mark against the agent Mendes, but yeah, I'm going to keep a very close eye on Wolves this year.
Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say I see your Everton.
Yeah.
And I saw your raise of Wolves, and I'm going to raise your Newcastle.
Ooh, oh, come on.
I mean,
now we're into optimistic realm.
I've been accused of being biased.
Yeah.
You've been accused of being biased.
How many marker
pens? This has taken the cake.
How many marker pens are we going to find behind here as new signings?
Gentlemen, when you're disappointed as much as I am, all that's left is to be stupid. Okay.
Benitez out, Bruce in, and Newcastle will lift.
Come on.
No, they won't.
Einstein at his peak couldn't explain that theory.
Give us the evidence.
Einstein couldn't do up his shoelaces, and that's how I feel right now about my team.
Mike Ashley can't reach them, I don't think. Go on.
Far out. Do you know when your screen, your computer just like zips out and the wheel of death appears on there? That's what the lights are on, the screen's
the
working,
buffering.
But the buffering and the wheel of death is going around because nothing's happening. It's just going to go round and round in circles for Newcastle. Joel Linton, fantastic. Okay, we broke our transfer record, 40 mil for this kid from Brazil who's gone through Hoffenheim, and Hoffenheim have got a great track record of producing players. Bobby Firmino came through and he had bad teeth then. And then when he did his teeth, he went to another level. A couple of players out of front, Jetro Willems, was fantastic. I just like saying it. He's a good left back, so he could improve us in that position, but I'm not expecting anything more than 13th. And Steve Bruce's record in the Premier League is abysmal in terms of the opportunities he's been given at a vast number of clubs. It's just sad, and it's just going to continue to happen until the owner is gone. But he's not going to sell because he's making money out of it, and he's happy because the TV money's so good. So it's just a comfortable existence for him. So
feel sorry for Newcastle fans like yourself. I mean, it's just Mike Ashley's plaything, and he doesn't seem to have any conscience about what he does. And
we're in a marriage we can't get out of, Garby, and we just have to sit there and stare at the wall.
Yeah, shame. All right, let's touch on. We're not going to discuss it because we've got to move on. But I think Leicester have got a lot going for them this season as well. I like the signing of Jose Perez from Newcastle, as you know, good player. Yuri Tielemans for £40 million. And they've lost Maguire, of course, but Brendan Rodgers seems like he's got things moving in the right direction there. I think they'll be a top 10 team. And Villa are just fascinating. Don't know what's going to happen with them, but man, the money they've spent is like the GDP of Romania. Like Wesley for £22 million. Matt Target for £17 million. Tyrone Mings for £20 million. Tom Heaton for £8 million. They've spent big money as a team coming up. Now there's pressure that comes with that, but can they match it? We'll wait and see. They're going to be great to watch.
I'll talk about two other clubs. First of all, Sheffield United. Everybody's tipped for relegation. They brought in 9 players, including Oliver McBurney, who scored 20-odd goals for Swansea in the Championship last year. Interesting to see if he can do it at Premier League level. They've also repatriated, if that's the right word, across the Pennines. And it is a different country, Yorkshire, let's be honest. Phil Jagielka, after 12 years with Everton. I think that's a good move. The intriguing one for me that Chris Wilder has brought in is Ravel Morrison. I don't know if you remember this kid.
Oh, yeah.
Teenage wonder boy at Man United. And then he's been wandering around the world with Lazio, Atlas in Mexico, Östersund in Sweden. The Lazio director, Igli Tare, came out with a fantastic quote on him. He said he's got undoubted quality. He's absolutely world-class, but he's totally mad. So can he do it in the Premier League?
I'll drop a little news nugget on you.
Go on.
He was discussed by A-League clubs.
Was he?
Yes, and there was talk.
Wouldn't surprise me. He's a big talent.
He knows Adam Lafondra, and Adam Lafondra, he was talking to Adam Lafondra when he didn't have a club, and Adam was saying, listen, mate, if you're up for it, this would be great for you and you'd be great for it. But you've got to be up for it.
Yeah.
And I think there's natural concerns as to whether he would be, whether he'd come here for a holiday or come here and actually work hard. Adam said to him, you can't just come here and think you're going to take the P155. You've got to actually be up for it because you'll get found out otherwise.
$10 steak night on a Thursday night at Wyong RSL is tempting for anyone.
Anyway, he was discussed at that level.
And I also want to register my concern for the only Australian left in the Premier League, unless you count Callum Elder at Leicester, who hasn't played yet for the first team, and that is Matty Ryan's Brighton. They've had a tricky off-season. Chris Hughton gone. The players were shocked by it. Graham Potter trying to instill a new style of play. They're having to rebuild the defence a little bit. Bruno's retired. They spent $20 million on Adam Webster. They brought in Matt Clark, who I've watched for Portsmouth in the UK. Thought he was a great player, and they've immediately offloaded into Derby. So I don't know whether he's had a bad couple of training sessions. Their big signing, Leandro Trossard, $15 million from Genk. But they still lack a frontline striker to replace Glenn Murray, who scored 36% of all their goals over the last two seasons. They've had two consecutive relegation battles. Tony Bloom, their owner, chairman, is a professional gambler by profession. I think he's gambled the whole farm on Graham Potter. Mm. I'm not sure it's going to pay off. I think they could be in trouble.
Yeah.
Two clubs I'm fascinated by. Norwich won the championship after a really slow start. Norwich fans last season, this time last season, were thinking, oh yeah, playoffs might be a bit of a stretch. And then they got off to a slow start and they just went bang. They were fantastic. They got this striker, Timo Pukki, he scored 29 goals last season. Emiliano Buendia. Don't know if you know him, but he's a little Argentine. I watched a documentary on a little Argentine not that long ago on Maradona. He's not quite Maradona standing just yet, but they got him out of the Spanish third tier.
Yeah, right.
For £1.5 million. He was on the books of Getafe, but they got him over. He is a sensational player.
Could be another Riyad Mahrez.
I am so looking forward to seeing this guy in the Premier League. And their coach, I don't know the parents of Daniel Farke, but I'll just call them the father and mother Farke.
Meet the Farkas.
But they've produced a very talented manager who's done very well with this club, and he's defied all expectations last season. Can he do it again? Same kind of background on the manager of Southampton, Ralph Hasenhüttl, who came in mid-season last year after Mark Hughes got the bomb. Bit worried about Southampton.
He's German, isn't he?
Austrian.
Austrian, there you go. Is there a more Austrian stroke German name than Hasenhüttl?
Well, he was at Red Bull Leipzig and did very well there. He did really well there. He was actually also a weave in with Australian football. He took over from a manager that we know well at Ingolstadt in Marco Kurz.
Yeah.
He took his job after Kurtz was shown the door, but Hasenhüttl, he's got a job ahead because they haven't really signed. They got Danny Ings out of Liverpool, but they kind of had him last season, didn't they? And it's just a bit part signing, so they're going to rely on their academy to release some players. What's left in that academy? But Hasenhüttl, interesting guy. He actually bans things like Wi-Fi in hotels because he wants his players to concentrate, get off video games. So big job ahead. I reckon Southampton could struggle this season.
Let's quickly look at our Aussies in England. We don't have too much time to go into detail, but Matty Ryan, you've spoken about. I mean, what are we expecting from Matty this season? More of the same? Does he go up another level? Does he move maybe in January? I mean, what are the thoughts around Matty's prospects?
We sat here in this room. I did an interview with him when he was back here. He's really looking forward to this season because it's the first season he's gone into with a full rest time going into the season. He knows that he's kind of got going in the first season, and then he had a couple of injury worries, hasn't been fully fit. He's got a bit of travel to do with the Socceroos, but nothing ridiculous until we play Copa America in 12 months' time, or just under 12 months' time. So he knows it's a huge, huge season, because if he has a big season, then he's in shop window for higher clubs than Brighton, with all due respect to Brighton. So, yeah, he's up for it. He's pumped about the season ahead. He could get some work as well, by the sounds of things.
I think he will get some work. I had a chat with Matty. I was over in the UK, went down to see him in Brighton last week. Again, I think, just to repeat what I said earlier, I think he was very shocked by the departure of Chris Hughton. But I think the style of play that Graham Potter is trying to implement will suit Matty down to the ground. It's more about playing out from the back, using his excellent distribution skills. Mm. I think he's also delighted to be working back with John Crawley again with the Socceroos. Mm. So, I expect him to lift again at international level. But I think you're right. I think he's going to get an awful lot of work this season. So
could be a good thing.
I know he set himself a few targets as well. He didn't tell me what they are, but maybe he's said, right, I want 10 clean sheets or 15 clean sheets. This 15 might be a stretch, but anyway. Let's hope he goes up another level. And more than that, here's an interesting one. Let's hope a few more Aussies join him in the Premier League. Do you know that there are more New Zealand internationals in the Premier League now than Australians?
Shut.
Two. Winston Reid.
Winston.
And Chris Wood.
Chris Wood. Yes.
There you go. Two Kiwis, one Aussie. Well, maybe unless you count Callum Elder.
Yeah. Well, maybe Aaron Moy can join them. There's still time. He played last night for Huddersfield.
They put a big price tag on
his
head.
It's not looking good. It's not looking good in terms of a move, but there's still time. Maybe. Master Wongo, I don't think he'll go to the Premier League, but just on another story, like it looks as if he's going to leave QPR.
Go to Forest?
Yeah, it just seems as if they're trying to offload him. So that's one to watch out for. But Aaron, can you see a move happening between now and the end of the window to the Premier League?
Weird things happen. Yep. Yeah, I could. Yeah, a mid-tier team below even. There's talk of Newcastle, but maybe Steve Bruce coming in has scuppered that. The one I'm intrigued in is just north of the border, Daniel Arzani. He got left out. He got swapped out of their Champions League squad, Celtic's Champions League squad, a couple of days ago. So, he wasn't on the bench on the weekend because he's still getting up to speed. But if it's not working for him, see if he can move the loan deal somewhere else because he needs games.
Can I talk about two other Aussies? Interesting to see how Ryan Edwards goes at Burton Albion. Obviously, he's following in the footsteps of Jackson Irvine at that club.
He had an assist on the weekend, Jackson, for Hull.
Yeah, let's see if he can have the same impact. And I think it's a massive season ahead for Alex Gersbach, a left-back of such potential as we saw in his early years in the A-League. He's pitched up this season at AGF Aarhus in Denmark. It's his fourth club in 12 months.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Well, you know, that's what you call your home in Scotland.
Yeah.
And talking of homes, I mean, Alex needs to find a home and some game time because he's 22 now. And let's hope he can start fulfilling that potential because it's huge.
Hugely talented player. Tom Rogic, where's he going to go? That'll be interesting. Been left out of Celtic squads as well because they want to make sure his value's high to go to a Champions League side. Talk of Zenit St. Petersburg. He could be on the move as well, which will be one to watch with interest for Australia. Right, our predictions. Let's go through them all to finish off this Premier League preview. Looking forward to our top six in order. That's the big one, of course, but a few categories to get through first. Your player of the season, Simon?
Kevin De Bruyne.
Agree. Yeah, when fit. I would like to make a one to really keep an eye on. Marvellous Akembe out of Aston Villa.
Just name, the name.
Best name in the Premier League. Yeah. Can he be the best player?
I'd love to call that name.
Marvellous. Zimbabwe.
Marvellous.
Zimbabwe International.
He's Zimbabwe, following in the footsteps of Peter Nlobu.
Mm-hmm. Peter Nlobu.
Nlobu.
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling for me. Just pipped by Virgil van Dijk last season. I think he'll go one better this time around and win player
of the season. No, Mo Salah or Mane?
They'll win Golden Boots and hopefully the title. That'll be enough. But okay. I think Raheem Sterling for player of the season. The Golden Boot. I'll go with Harry Kane. You going with Harry Kane. That's been discussed.
Well, call me one-eyed.
Sergio.
You're one-eyed.
Sergio Aguero. In his last five seasons, he scored 26, 24, 20, 21 and 21. And he's won just one Golden Boot. I think he deserves another one.
Okay.
First manager to be sacked, Adam.
Dean Smith.
Villa, because of all the money that's been spent.
Trouble. I just don't like the feeling. I saw it with Fulham last season of bringing in these players left, right and centre. I know they had to get rid of a lot of older players, Villa, and bring in some fresh new talent, and they have spent, and their fans are happy because they have spent, but it's such a hard thing to bring all that, to mesh all that together quickly. A lot of pressure on him.
I'll go Roy Hodgson. I think Palace seem a bit unsettled. They've lost one, Bissaka. Zaha wants out. I just think there's going to be pressure. If they don't start well, I mean, they're a proud club. Roy could be showing the door.
I'm going with your boy, Adam. Steve Bruce.
Good. He's the favourite. I know Solskjaer's the
favourite. First five games, Newcastle have got Arsenal, Spurs and Liverpool in three of those.
No problem.
And given the atmosphere at the club at the moment, if they're, you know, no points from the first five or one or two, I think that pressure's going to be intolerable.
You can't be disappointed, Simon, when there's no expectation.
Three to be relegated. Mine are pretty straightforward. Adam, you go first.
Burnley, Villa, Southampton, because I'm biased, but really Newcastle should probably be in that lot, but Burnley, Villa.
Burnley, that's a big call.
Yeah.
I'm going Burnley as well, actually.
Right.
I'm going the three Bs. Bournemouth, which I'm disappointed about because I like Eddie Howe, but I think their luck is finally going to run out. You know, it's always going to be tough for a small club. Burnley, probably similar sort of a story, and I've already talked about Brighton, so the three Bs for me.
Interesting. I think Sean Dyche will get them. They had Europa League football last season, which made it more difficult for them. I think they'll stabilise a bit.
Well, I tipped Watford to go down last year, so that went well.
mine are not very exciting. Sheffield United, Norwich, up and down for me, and Brighton as well. I think it's going to be a tough one.
Norwich will surprise you.
Okay, we'll wait and see. I hope so. Good story, but I think they might just drop down. So, yeah.
They should sign Parrott, your man from Parrott of the Canaries.
Right, to finish off, Simon, your top six in order. 6-1.
Okay, in reverse order, as they used to say in Miss World, I'll go Arsenal in sixth. I will go Chelsea in fifth. Man United to finish top four. Tottenham three. Drum roll. Liverpool second.
Yeah, what a
and
film.
Man City to make it back to back to back.
Chelsea, Spurs, Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Newcastle. Manchester City.
I've got a shock.
Liverpool at the top. That's no shocker.
You reckon Everton?
I've got Everton in sixth.
Ooh, okay.
I've got Chelsea dropping out.
Ooh. All right.
It's a big call, I know. I think there might be a change. I think one of United, Arsenal, or Chelsea could drop out. I'm going with Chelsea.
Mr. Pryor, mark that one. We're going to revisit that in May next year.
I know it's a big call. I've got Everton in sixth, United in fifth, Arsenal in fourth, Spurs in third, City in second, and Liverpool to go 1 point better and win the title.
Oh, dear.
I've got to. Bloody hell.
God, I'm locking myself in my house. Next May, if that happens.
We will be beautifully insufferable
if that is
the case.
We'll save the football world again.
Boys, thank you. We're looking forward to it all,
cheers,
of course. The normal podcasts, I imagine, will resume in time when the A-League season gets closer and starts. In the meantime, the Premier League will keep us well and truly entertained. Adam Simon, thank you very much. Phil Pryor, thanks for putting it all together. Thanks for listening, as you always do.